like, we just can't be behind the times as Penn State always is on everything that we do. We are always like 2, 3, 4 years behind where like the programs around the country that are winning are ascending to. Like, I think back, like, probably still maybe your guys' like freshman year, the locker room at Penn State was like horrible.
But I did get to talk a little bit to Andy Kaltenecki. And then I've also seen today, I guess media was at practice yesterday or the day before. And the dude, I'm becoming more and more excited about what he's going to bring. I even chopped it up with Devon Elise a little bit. And he said even defensively, like, the defensive guys are just as excited, if not more excited, than the offensive guys with the way he's been running practices and stuff. So
first things I've been seeing, a lot of Julian Fleming talk, you know, seems to be moving good, looking good out there. Some say he just naturally stepped up into that wide receiver one position.
Quarterback sneak right side, touchdown, Penn State!
Who knew I would make it this far? College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
What's up, folks? Got my compadre back this week. So fired up about that. B, what's going on, man?
What's going on? Apologies. Rough week. Not rough. I'll say long weekend. A lot of stuff going on last week, but good to be back with the bro.
No doubt. We got that. You know, we were thinking about you. Had a good episode with Stank. He came in and, you know, I thought gave some good perspective from the collective side of things as it pertains to NIL. But I think that there's still some angles that we can dive into here, state media in the pocket specifically. So today, later on, we're going to bring a fan's perspective in. Now, I will be transparent here. Not quite your typical fan. Bradley Corcoran, Derp as we called him, actually lived with a lot of really the class above us and two classes above us over at the retreat, but was a normal regular person living with us, and he was a great resource to have. But he's going to come in and give a pretty unique perspective. So there is some familiarity here. Maybe we'll try to get, like, in the next mailbag, see if we could get a fan wants to hop on too and give us their two cents.
Yeah, sure.
You know, not one that we don't have ties to. But
right.
He just had a baby, so he's in between things. So he's going to hop on here in a little bit when he's got a chance. But, you know, spring ball kicked off. We're going to touch on the NIL side of things, obviously, as I said. B, dude, and I forgot, we brought back mailbag. Good response. We're excited about that. So we're going to spend heavy time probably getting to all those today. So with that being said, B, spring ball's going. What have you been hearing, man?
Yeah, yes, it is. I see the hype videos. I'm always, you know, tapped in. Guys are hyped to get the pads back on. You know, winter workouts, as we talked about before, it's part of college football, but it's not necessarily football. You know, once you put the pads on, kind of since last time, since the bowl game, you know, 2, 3 months. So big moment, big time of the year. A lot of guys out there, first moment to prove something. You know, guys maybe that have been in the shadows waiting to kind of arise for the moment. But first things I've been seeing, a lot of Julian Fleming talk, you know, seems to be moving good, looking good out there. Some say he just naturally stepped up into that wide receiver one position. You know, spring, it's early, but, you know, as far as just like, you know, being first in line and things of that nature,
yeah,
seems like he's kind of taking that on his own and kind of becoming that guy. We'll see, but a lot of talk about him. He looks good. You know, he's got good size kid with speed. Linebackers, Abdul Carter, obviously was the, you know, big news in the off season. Working on the edge, you see him with these double knee braced up. You know, as they make those guys do.
I'm thumbed out, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure he has to get used to that, doing that every day for practice. I remember just hearing guys, they hated it. You know, the big guys got used to it, like the interior guys, but the edge guys that kind of like to be loose and free,
yeah,
they hated it. So I'm sure that's an adjustment for him.
No doubt. Yeah, I was. I actually got to sneak up for pro day, so I was up there, watched some of those guys work out. They look good as usual. You know, Chuck is getting them ready to go. But I did get to talk a little bit to Andy Kaltenecki. And then I've also seen today, I guess media was at practice yesterday or the day before. And the dude, I'm becoming more and more excited about what he's going to bring. I even chopped it up with Devon Elise a little bit. And he said, even defensively, like the defensive guys are just as excited, if not more excited than the offensive guys with the way he's been running practices and stuff. So a lot to be excited about as a Penn State fan, as it pertains to that hire. I know that there was a lot of anticipation coming into it. We talked about it, but it seems to be coming to fruition. And that's probably my biggest update. Like, I'm just stoked to continue to see that development, right? You know how it is. It takes time to nurture and grow what you're trying to be and what you're trying to do. And, you know, you mentioned a guy like Julian Fleming and the pieces and trying to fill some gaps and all of these things coming into one when you finally hit the field. But he seems to be a guy who's really focused on teaching and the fundamentals and the baseline of not just the game, but also like installing an offense, running an offense. So seems to be right on track. And like I said, I'm stoked to keep an eye on that throughout spring ball. But before we get to the next topic, we're gonna take a minute to talk about Factor Meals. Now, I know that there's a ton of food delivery service options out there. I'm gonna stand on the table here and say this: Factor Meals does it different. Pre-prepared, chef crafted, dietitian approved. We've gotten the chance to test them here at the Pocket. I just got mine this past week. Phenomenal meals, super easy. Throw them in the oven. Like I said, they're pre-prepared. Pop them out, throw them on a plate. I'm a new father, got a wife. I'm unfortunately the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house. So whenever I need a break, this is a great option for me. Meals, 2 minutes or less. They got snacks. They got smoothies. They got little juice drinks. It's super flexible. It fits into my schedule when need be. No mess. I also do the dishes. So therefore, minimal dishes when it comes to preparation with Factor Meals. Really, really, really highly recommend them for your day-to-day operation. So if you like what I'm talking about, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, please head over to factormeals.com/pocket50 and use code pocket50 to get 50% off. That's code pocket50 at factormeals.com/pocket50 to get 50% off. I know that's a lot of pocket 50s, but you guys get the gist. 50% off to cut into about 75% of your meal prep time. Phenomenal, and I highly recommend them.
Heard some great comments about him so far, as you said, just relaying everything you said. What was your feel as far as how guys were kind of, you know, taking in his words? I'm sure he's yelling out there and just kind of portraying his message. I know you said the defense seems to be amped and hyped for him, yeah, which I'm sure they are, you know, a chance to, you know, kind of put the whole thing together. His last season, you know, offense wasn't quite there, as matured as the defense was. But from the offense, at least, receivers, tight ends, QB room, seemed like a good meshing so far.
Yeah, I mean, all the guys seemed excited. Like I said, I think just talking to him too, to me, the best coordinators under Coach Franklin are guys who are extremely confident in themselves. Mm-hmm. And he projects that in a very subtle way, which is awesome. And I think that makes him much more relatable to all the people sitting in that room. You know, I didn't get to know Yursich like super, super well, but it just seemed like he kind of tried to stay in his lane, and it was he took ownership obviously, but I just don't know if like the personality was a fit for the whole operation, if that makes sense. And that's not anybody's fault. It's just what it is. Right. He's a guy who obviously knows football and, you know, is going to get another job here shortly or soon or whatever. He's going to stay in it. But Andy seems to bring like the perfect personality to the entire operation, which I think is really exciting. And like you said, I mean, all the guys I talked to have responded in nothing but high praises. And like I was getting at, just talking to Andy, he just is like, he's a ball guy who relates. And like I said, like at his core, the biggest theme is he wants to be a teacher. And unfortunately, you don't get, as you continue to climb the ladder in the ranks and in the football world, it's funny. You see guys who got there as coaches, you know, being like grassroots developers and stuff like that. that becomes like such a secondary thing. And when you have a guy who constantly preaches about putting that first at a place like Penn State, or just like across the country, any big brand that's going to ultimately develop a lot of NFL talent, it's really cool to see that, because I think it's good for the game. And like I said, I think particularly for this offense, it's going to bode really well for them moving forward under his tutelage. So he just seems to be a guy who's got his priorities right, and is a great fit top to bottom. So the guys were fired up. Like I said, it was just funny talking to Devon. Like Devon was literally, yo, dude's got some. I was like, all right, good, man. I'll make sure I stay tuned in. So, you know, that's probably, you know, that's what we needed. And it's been really good to get back up there more and just get the feedback.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm excited. More time these guys get to gel and mesh. Everything you're saying should only, you know, build up. And leaders like Devon, I'm sure, is just only going to help, you know, row the boat in the right direction for everybody. So that's good to hear. I got to get up there, man. I got to get up there.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, let's shift this over to the – well, we're going to be up for the spring game too. That's the other thing. We mentioned that, but – let's shift this over to the mailbag, man. We got some good ones. I'm going to cover X, formerly known as Twitter, first, and then we're going to jump over to Instagram. But, of course, hot out the gates, Jonathan Coker, our guy. You know he had to get in here, so we're stoked to answer some of these questions for him. Let's go with the first one. Sorry, I've been out of the loop lately, but first random question. Should college football have a commissioner? If so, who would you pick to lead this new NIL/expanded playoff era? He personally thinks Nick Saban would be an ideal choice. Maybe Oliver Luck or Greg Sankey. What do you got?
Saban would be interesting. I'm trying to think. Well, first to answer the first part of the question. Man, commissioner. I mean, leading to everything we've been saying about the way college football is kind of heading and being its own, you know, entity and kind of separating itself from the NCAA. I mean, maybe commissioner wouldn't be a bad idea. As far as who, man, I'm not sure if I can answer that one. It would have to be, I think Saban's too fresh out. It's too fresh out of it. Obviously, we see his emotions that are tied to what at least went down in Alabama the last year or two with NIL. So I'm not sure about Saban. Someone that has a good overall view of everything, maybe, you know, kind of like we said about getting a fan on here, someone that's not really tied to any school or has been, at least in the recent future or past. I'm trying to think if a name comes off the top. I don't know if it is for me. You got anybody? Yeah.
I'm going to answer that too. I think there needs to be a commissioner. And I think it needs to be somebody who comes from the proper mindset, right? Like, I think that there's obviously give and take. I think Saban's a little bit not – he's been very open about why, like, NIL has pushed him out, right? And I think it's – what it's really about is finding, like, that fine line and, like, taking pressure off the right folks. Like, we talked about it with Stank. Like, the things I'm hearing and, like, it's hard for me to disagree with is, like, how does NIL fall on fans? And they're already doing a lot to participate as it begin, like from the beginning, you know, getting to games on weekends, you know, paying for season tickets, parking passes, the whole nine. It's very, very expensive to be a fan of a big program. And ultimately all that money goes back to the athletic department anyway. So it's like, I just think it needs to be somebody who looks at it from a holistic approach. I'm going to throw like a crazy ass weird curveball out here. Obviously he has Penn State ties, but I just think he's a very, very smart human being. He's done some stuff with the college football playoff as of late, and I have a ton of respect for the way that he views the world. John Urschel, I think, would be a guy who you could pull out of here. I think he would think about it from like a lot of different angles, and he's a very sensical human being. He's data driven, you know, math guy, but you need somebody who's going to be a big enough personality, understands it, played it, sees the whole system, and ultimately is out to make it as advantageous as possible for all parties involved. But that would be like my crazy oddball one, and like not thinking too deep about it, Coker.
Right. No. Ursh, man, as you said, extremely intelligent, man. You know, strong-willed as well, because, you know, in these positions, you know, you're going to get a lot of slack. Obviously, every decision made is not, you know, the most pleasing one to everyone. So you're going to catch a lot of backfire on everything you do and say. We see it with all the commissioners, NBA, NFL. I was working for the NBA. You know, anytime commissioner name is dropped, there's something has to be typed up about it, you know.
Yeah. So.
I like Ursh. I think he, like you said, would have a top-down view of it all. Sensical, you know, wise, strong-minded, strong-willed. I like that one.
But, and I think, like, getting somebody, like, outside of the old guard. Like, I think, like, he's too tied to the SEC. Like, you can't have somebody who has ties to, like, any particular piece of it. So, like, you need some fresh blood in there. I think for it to ultimately be rolled out properly and – be the representative of like the entire thing, you know?
Right.
Work
though, man. It's coming. It's coming soon.
It is coming. It's coming in hot. Coker's second question: with the expanded playoff on the horizon, should there be a universal scheduling model for all Power Five conferences, thus making the resumes comparable come selection time? What do you think about that, B, quick?
That is definitely fair. I mean, I think it's definitely a taller task, easier said than done, but definitely should – the schedules have to equal out, because this thing is only going to get tighter. These decisions are only going to get tighter. And obviously with realignment going on, there's not going to be so many cupcake games. We talk about this in the Big Ten. But what does that mean for the SEC, you know, as far as Alabama playing UTSA week 10 – versus, you know, Penn State playing UCLA. And if it comes down to those two, you know, it's definitely not weighed the same. But I think to answer his question, there definitely has to be some regularity between the scheduling.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be really hard at the end of the day to, like, take strength of schedule out of it. It's just, like, such a variable point of evaluation that it's like team could get hot, team could be down, you know, whatever, like who knows. So I do think like universalizing some form of structure to that is definitely needed, but making it like a big point in decision making in terms of who's going to make that 12 team playoff, I think is going to be really hard. I think you need to just kind of you know, you're going to have the ability now to basically take the top two teams from each Power Five conference, which is great. And then however you handle the two at-larges or whatever, you know, I'm not super read up on it, so I need to continue to dive into that. But, like, scheduling makes it makes sense, but it almost makes too much sense. Like, I'm sure this is not the first thing that people are thinking about, which is funny. But it's a good question, Coker, and I think, you know, I think you're going to see some type of – thing come down the line. It may not be immediate, but I think it's coming. Are you paying too much for health insurance? Too busy to read long, complicated policies? Well, guess what? Here at The Pocket, we got a solution for you. Mahdi Health. Patrick Mahdi, former letterman. He's doing a fantastic job in this industry. He leverages years of expertise to build a customized health insurance policy for you and your needs. Individual plans, family plans. Patrick ensures you get the best protection for your health and budget. Mahdi Health, one broker, endless solutions. Now offering up to $500 cash bonus for every customer referral. So quit overpaying for your health insurance. Visit MahdiHealth.com to schedule a free consultation with Patrick himself.
Well, speaking to your point you just made about probably the top two teams from each conference get a chance to get in there, what happens to the conference championship games? You know, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, UCLA, whoever is this, the loser is still in? Do they see each other again? Is it a situation where we may see two teams play back-to-back weeks? That could be interesting. Probably never in football, college football.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
No, that is a damn interesting thought. I mean, I don't know. Like, I've always thought, like, maybe treat the conference championship games as, like, the first round, and you have the winners and the losers. I don't know. Like, But I, again, I could be just talking out of my ass in terms of how that would look. I have to draw this out, and maybe we'll spend an entire episode on that heading into the season. But I don't know. It's not like do away with the conference championship games, but like, who knows what the conferences are going to look like here too.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so, it could be a really interesting thing. I think it's going to come down to polling and position and stuff like that ultimately, but we'll see.
Yeah. Another good question about Coca though.
Yeah.
What else
we got? We appreciate it. We got Jeff Karish, K-A-R-I-S-H. So sorry if I butchered that. What teams and what players are you looking at closely during spring games, and what are you looking for? Pretty broad stroke there.
Yeah, pretty broad stroke. Just because it was just on TV, I think the Ohio State team and that quarterback position will be very interesting to see develop. You know, we saw what kind of went down in the bowl game against Missouri. I'm very interested to see who comes out as number one. You know, they've got young talent coming in. They've got, guys that's played a little bit. As we know, the rest of the roster is full of talent. They got some transfers as well. Ohio State's always one just because it's going to get a lot of media coverage. You'll see a lot. You'll read about it a lot. Off the top of my head, same goes for Michigan, actually.
Yeah.
The QB position, they've got to reload that spot. Who would that be? I know they got the kid, Orji. Big kid out of Texas. I believe out of Texas, somewhere down south.
Yeah.
Looks like a stud, built from the ground up. We'll see if he rolls right into that number one spot. Once again, rest of the roster seems to be locked and loaded, ready to kind of reload.
Yeah.
And then USC also in the Big Ten. Another QB battle. We got transfers in there. The kid stepped up in the bowl game, played big. Forget his name, forgive me, but it's a lot of interest. Just in the Big Ten alone, the new Big Ten, a lot of interesting teams to pay attention to.
Yeah, Miller Moss was the kid you were talking about.
Yeah, you had him on your
for a couple times.
You had him on your segment. Yep, throwing some dimes. He threw 4 or 5 touchdowns in that bowl game.
Lit it up, man. Kid came out with his hair on fire. Yeah, I think it's like spring is always so interesting. I talk about this too, like development and what you're looking at. Like for me, the one team I'm really interested in and seeing take strides, and it partially is pertaining to like the quarterback position and them filling a void with a massive recruit, is Nebraska. Just because historically speaking, a national brand have kind of been in the basement for the past few years. I really believe in Matt Rhule. And like ultimately, I think Nebraska, Wisconsin, like some of the blue bloods of the West, and like historically really consistent programs now have to kind of take that step that they've never taken before with all the additions to the Big Ten. So I'm intrigued to watch that and see if they can come over the hump and take some big steps heading into this next year. Cause ultimately I think what we all want as Big Ten fans is a much more competitive conference top to bottom. And that's everybody raising their floor a little bit. And I think the teams that are most poised to do that are those like Wisconsin, Nebraska, Michigan States of the world who have been relevant, have shown the propensity to get talent there. And it's just going to be a matter of development and overall alignment from top down. So they got a new athletic director, the gentleman coming over from Washington with Trev Alberts leaving. You know, like I said, I'm a big proponent, big fan of Matt Rhule, and they got that Dylan Royola. How you say his last name?
Commitment late from UGA.
Yeah, they flipped him from I think Ohio State. So.
Oh, I thought it was UGA. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it was Georgia. Yeah, it was Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia. Flipping from Georgia.
Yeah, he was consensus number one QB pick and all that. Dual threat a little bit.
So,
I'll
definitely be have an eye out over there in Lincoln and see how Rhule gets things going.
That's a good point. Maybe it's just my Penn State mind. You know, with these new schools, the West Coast schools coming in, it's just been like, oh, what's Penn State? How's Penn State going to adjust? where are we going to land in this new structured Big Ten? But really, it's those schools you mentioned that maybe were mid to top or bottom tiers. Like, they really have to choose or decide to rise up, or you will get left behind and could see yourself becoming a bottom tier Big Ten school in a snap of a season.
Yeah.
Depending on how the West Coast guys come in.
So. No, I mean, that's the thing. We get so wrapped up, to your point, in the Penn State side of things. There's a much bigger narrative here to be talking about, and it should be those teams that are kind of on the fringe thinking about it. But that was a good one, Jeff. We appreciate it. We got Grant Grasha coming again, our guy G Money. I love it. We're getting some guys from the season back. Now let's get your friends in here. Are you excited for the new NCAA video game dropping? Last one to come out was our freshman year, B.
Yes, it was.
We made
the cut.
We did make the cut. Did you get paid for that? That lawsuit?
I think years down the line, it was, what, a couple $100?
I remember. I think I got that check when I was sitting in the hot tub in the Jets facility, and I was fired up about it. I was like, oh,
Yeah, definitely excited. I mean, honestly, I haven't played, and this isn't like a flex or anything, by unfortunate circumstance. Haven't had a video game system in a few years.
Yeah.
Mine broke, but this NCAA will bring me out of retirement. This drops, I probably should get the system now just to be ready, but I will get a system and the game when that comes out.
Yeah, I might have to, too. My Xbox might explode if I plugged it back in. My brothers laugh. I'm the same way. Some life priorities have gotten in the way of any type of gaming. But
yeah,
it is dope. And I'm just waiting for them to drop, like, a retro, like, Legends roster so we can get in on some of this NIL stuff moving forward. That would be dope.
That they got to bring back some of the, like, ESPN or classic games to relive those moments.
Oh, yeah.
We definitely in a few of those.
Oh, yeah.
And let's just some little retroactive check, retroactive in them. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Same here.
My PlayStation, I think, right when the PS5 came out, my PS4 just diffused. And I took that as a sign. I was like, okay, let me let the video games rest at that moment in my life. And I said I'll get a PS5. I'll get it. It's been years later. Still haven't gotten it. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I think it's going to bring a lot of folks out of retirement, though, G-Money. I think that game definitely will.
Yeah, they got to do it right, too, man. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of high stakes. People are going to be nitpicking every little thing. But they got to get close as possible to right on the debut or re-debut.
No doubt. All right. So, last one here on Twitter, we got Andy Rupert. Listening to Adam Bretterman's interview with Coach Dilfer at UAB and reading the Athletic's piece on Will Wade this week at McNeese, it is obvious Group of Five schools can't keep up in the NIL/portal space. How would you approach being a Group of Five head coach in this era? This is a fantastic question. And the little blurb that he attached to this tweet was a quote, I'm assuming from Will Wade at McNeese, is, why wouldn't I be happy for my guys if they have an opportunity to make more money, Wade says. That's the whole point. It's to come here to raise your value. The fact that an SEC school wants to contact one of my guys and pay him six figures, why wouldn't I be happy about that? I don't care. I think that's a fantastic question. I'll jump right off the rip. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what the Group of Five is going to become, right? It's going to become a feeding ground and developmental ground for that. And I think you're going to kind of see the JUCO wave go down just because, like, JUCO really, when it comes down to it, it is done well for guys, but the fact that it inhibits eligibility is kind of a bummer. Now I think what you're going to be doing is seeing these Group of Fives really grassroots those hidden gems. And now the Power Five schools can focus on, like, the top 20% of recruits in the country, leave the rest for the other guys. It'll still be really competitive football. And I think as a Group of Five head coach, it goes back to what I was saying about Andy Kaltenecki. Like, some guys like Nick Saban, who, want to really develop people, that can be kind of that breeding ground where guys go back, or you have younger coaches who are coming into it. But I think it's going to be two ends of the spectrum, either guys on the way out or guys getting into it, who can go there and really build a great resume as a developer, and then ultimately get to that next phase of the Power Five game, which is different. It's changing in the way that they're approaching recruiting and all that's changing. So I think it's just an opportunity at the Group of Five to really grassroots things, be a great developer of talent, with the understanding that I think Will Wade has a great perspective on it. Like, if I do my job and half my starters end up playing at Power Five schools the next year, that's a great recruiting tool for them. It's a fantastic recruiting tool. You can now go to those kids that you find. You have to be a great talent evaluator and a great developer, as I said, but you can now go to these kids and say, listen, half my starters are playing in the SEC right now from last year. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep reloading and keep developing, and we want you to be a part of it. I think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you brought up a great point. Like you said, being a kind of grass level roots, you know, kind of system. You look at college basketball, that happens all the time. You got Rick Pitino kind of, you know, St. John's is a historic basketball program itself, but it's not a P Power Five, you know, Kentucky type of school.
Yeah.
Where these coaches, if Nick Saban wanted to get back to it, kind of keep it as pure as possible because, you know, the NIL isn't as big of a deal on that level. You know, he could do that and help kids out just the way he has and wants to. And as you said, it really comes back on the coaches and kind of being that elite talent evaluator. It kind of puts more pressure on them to go out to these high schools. And it's not going to be just open the internet and find a five-star at this school. It's going to be, you know, who's not getting the looks but has some numbers, really diving the tape, really tapping in with these high school guys on the 24/7 sports. And, you know, we know the guys out there that are at all these high school camps and 7-on-7s. They're really there, like, livelihood. They love it. Really connecting with those guys and saying, hey, I got this running back. He's got offer from, you know, Albany. You know, that's kind of it. But I think he's got talent, and it could be that next opportunity for that kid to, like you said, hey, my last starting five, starting running back, he's at so-and-so school now. Not going to guarantee it, but this is how we're developing our talent. We believe you can, you know, your upside is high enough. So it's almost good for the high school kids. I know the transfer portal has been kind of killing a lot of their recruitment, but, you know, it could open up some more doors if their mindset changes to, hey, it may not be the school that I always wanted, but it's a free education. This school wants me, and I can still develop and possibly get to that level. It's just the route may be a little different.
Yeah, and that's why I said I think it's interesting because it's going to change the whole system and traditionally what people think about, right? Like, traditionally, if you didn't get a scholarship offer previously, you went to JUCO or you went to a prep school, you went to this and you went to that. But, like, that tape really doesn't get evaluated, I think, the same way it would if you went to, like, an ODU or a JMU or something like that. Like, that tape is much more valuable as it pertains to your overall evaluation if your end game is the NFL. Like, they're still going to watch that tape. I don't know how much evaluators will watch your JUCO tape if you end up going from JUCO to Penn State or something like that. So, like, it's still really valuable in terms of your overall journey and your overall development and evaluation. And, you know, like you said, I just think it's going to take some time for people to start realizing that. And you brought up a great point with, like, the high school kids and changing their mindset. You know, a lot of high school kids are just flat out, there's not a scholarship out there for them to have. Right. I think once all this COVID extra eligibility stuff starts shuffling out, I think you're going to see a big shift in from a Group of Five perspective on going and getting those fringe kids in school there. And it'll be one of those, like, when you're at the coaches convention, you know, down in Nashville or San Antonio or whatever, there's going to be a backdoor handshake between that Group of Five and the Power Five coaches and the Group of Five guys saying, like, listen, we're going to be that feeder system of products that ultimately is going to fill the transfer portal. And I hope that the Power Five does something with the transfer portal to make it less lateral movement. And the transfer portal is great when it comes to, like, ascending the ladder and ascending playing fields, but, like, the tampering and all that other bullshit that I think can come with the transfer portal being open in the Power Five, how it currently stands, is a little interesting to me. So I think that there's some tweaking that can be done there. But great question, Andy. Yeah. Appreciate the engagement. That was fantastic. So let's hop over to Instagram. I think we got one or two there. Andrew Mullen. Because I think this is actually a good transition. We'll get Brad up in here right after this. In terms of NIL, it's been thrown around that the PSU NIL isn't attracting enough members, which I do think some of that is from, as an alumni that graduated in 2009 and during the time Joe Paul was still there. And I feel the attitude for football was still a school first, football second mentality. And now with NIL, I think that dynamic has shifted. So how do you convince the huge PSU alumni that, look, if you want top talent here, then you need to find it via NIL? Yeah. Convoluted, long question. I think he's kind of going at what Stank and I tried to attack, is the why. Why do you get involved? What do you got, B? I got something for it, but I don't want to dive too far into it quite yet. And I talked about it last week.
Yeah. I mean, I think the why is simply, I think this is the, it's almost like real estate. Your real estate in the program, in the school itself, into these kids, is what has the highest, you know, the best return. And I think that is where you see it, you know, make length. And through NIL is where you see your money, your investment, you know, take the most strides within this large, you know, organization. And kind of to his point of like being a school, then football type program, I think you, with Penn State, you have to always believe that is the case regardless. I know it's hard when you're just asking, people are asking for money and they're like, okay, how much? These are crazy numbers. But I think any of these kids that decide to become a Penn Stater, it's always going to be education and the whole nine that makes Penn State as great as it is. The NIL aspect is just to accelerate the athletic side. But while they're here, they're always going to get the grade A education. And you have to believe Coach Franklin and the staff are still preaching that to the kids. It's not this place. The program isn't being ran like a professional team. I'll tell you that firsthand. These are still kids, 17, 22, 24. And while they're there, they're getting everything that they always did at Penn State, whether it's before us and after us. And the NIL is just to kind of accelerate the athletic side to see us reach the heights that we all want to be.
Yeah. And that's where I put it, right? Like, I think right now what we need to understand is top to bottom. And I think that I think what Andrew is getting at is there's like this old guard of like Penn State fans that don't want to buy into it, or they believe a certain thing. And like, what you have to understand is that, like any industry, stuff changes and you have to adapt and evolve with the landscape, right? And I think what it comes down to is it's super simple, right? We have championship expectations as fans and alumni of this program. And you brought up a great point. Like, all the other stuff that comes with Penn State is not going to change. Mm-hmm. And I think that the overall system right now of NIL is broken and is ultimately going to be fixed, right? So like there's this thing where like you have to sit there and say, I have championship expectations. The current system is broken. In order to compete at a championship level, we have to compete in NIL. So you have this convoluted mess of like pasta sitting here on your plate. How do you start to dissect that and start aligning why and how and what happens, right? And to me, if you're at home and you have championship expectations for Penn State, we need to compete at a championship level in NIL as well, right? And fortunately for all of you, I firmly believe, now this isn't anybody else's but my opinion, that the current state of NIL is not going to be the current state of NIL for the foreseeable future. Meaning, I think that there is pressure, because I agree. I think it's unfair to ask people who are putting a ton of money into being fans in the first place to continue to bolster that effort to have a tighter roster that can compete for championships. I don't think that's necessarily fair, but it's the current landscape and it's the legislature. And there's a lot of things that need to work out in order for that to happen. And if you're not participating, you're only inhibiting what you ultimately want, and that's your ability to go out and compete with people who are the Michigans, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Texas A&M. They're all competing at that in that lane. So now, if that's who we're supposed to beat, then we need to start competing in that lane as well. And like I said, whether you like it or not, it's what's happening. And at the end of the day, if we participate or we don't, there's going to be repercussions on the field for that. And that's just the landscape we live in. And like I said, hopefully and fortuitously, I think that that's going to change very quickly for us in terms of alleviating pressure and finding unique ways for us to continue to compete in that space, but make sure that it's very centered around what NIL is about, not necessarily pay for play, but, you know, giving kids opportunities to capitalize on their brand. I think that's all going to shake itself out, but we need to put that aside right now and say, if we have championship expectations, we need to have championship effort all the way around. So I know that's not what people want to hear, but that's the reality of the situation right now. And I think if we could put that aside and make the sacrifice now, it's going to pay dividends when the proper infrastructure comes in.
Yeah, and I get it. It's tough. Like you said, every industry changes, and I think this industry has been the same for so long. And then Penn State has been the same kind of mindset for so long within that. And then on the blank of an eye, it's like, whoa, 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 all these changes. This is totally new. Yeah. Let's pump the brakes. That's natural for most people, most, you know, brains. But at the same time, it's like you said, we're revving up. Every other team is revving up their engine with these new products, this NIL. If you want to keep up, we got to get a new engine. You got to improve our engine, and this is the way to do it. So,
and it's funny. It's not like over the history of college sports, right? Like, there's not been such a drastic change ever, right? And Penn State has kind of benefited from being such a big brand that it's like the brand has eclipsed the change previously. Mm-hmm. In college sports, right? We haven't really, we could always do it our way. Right. Unfortunately, the shift that's happening now is seismic. And you have to do what you have to do to be where you ultimately want to be and hope that the infrastructure supports that. You have to abandon all other causes to say, this is what we're doing. And we're doing this because we want this place to be able to compete for championships now and for 20 years now. And if you make that sacrifice for this next year, 2 years, whatever it takes for that to ultimately come to fruition again, I think it's going to be much quicker than that. You're going to pay dividends when it comes to everybody else getting that benefit and then being able to do what they want to do. If you're ahead of the curve in that landscape, you know, you got to do it. But I think it's just such a seismic change that it's scared a lot of Penn State people. And, you know, part of our mission here is just to make sure that we're educating and
supporting
that. So,
for sure, which I get, it's natural, but
we're
all here to figure it out together.
No doubt. No doubt. So with that, let's get Brad in here.
Before we get to the next topic, we're going to take a minute to talk about Factor Meals. Now, I know that there's a ton of food delivery service options out there. I'm going to stand on the table here and say this. Factor Meals does it different. Pre-prepared, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved. We've gotten the chance to test them here at The Pocket. I just got mine this past week. Phenomenal meals, super easy. Throw them in the oven. Like I said, they're pre-prepared. Pop them out, throw them on a plate. I'm a new father, got a wife. I'm unfortunately the one that does the majority of the cooking in the house. So whenever I need a break, this is a great option for me. Meals, 2 minutes or less. They got snacks. They got smoothies. They got little juice drinks. It's super flexible. It fits into my schedule when need be. No mess. I also do the dishes. So therefore, minimal dishes when it comes to preparation with Factor Meals. Really, really, really highly recommend them for your day-to-day operation. So, if you like what I'm talking about, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, please head over to factormeals.com/pocket50 and use code pocket50 to get 50% off. That's code pocket50 at factormeals.com/pocket50 to get 50% off. I know that's a lot of pocket 50s, but you guys get the gist. 50% off to cut into about 75% of your meal prep time. Phenomenal, and I highly recommend them.
And we got Brad Corcoran here. As I said, Not like just a random fan from the street. We've got some history. The retreat has some skeletons in several closets. But Brad's a new dad, so he's fitting this in between feeding sessions. But we appreciate it, dude. Thanks for hopping on. What's been up?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's really cool. It's Penn State fandom really comes full circle here, being on the podcast with you guys. I've like grown up a Penn State fan. I've had no choice. My parents met at Penn State. My grandparents were Penn State people. I like always remember my grandfather had this big sign in his garage that said, if God isn't a Penn State fan, why is the sky blue and white? And I just remember like from being a little kid, it was like no chance, but like you've got to be a Penn State fan. So cool to be on here with you guys.
It's in the blood. I love it.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. You and like it's cool. So like we talked about, we just got done answering some fan questions. We had an NIL question that brought us in, and we had Rich Stankiewicz again last week on. So what we want to do is kind of drive this conversation around the why. Like that was our goal, talking with Stank about getting some perspective on the collective side of things. But like, why should Penn State fans look at NIL in a different light than I think what they've looked at for the past few years since it's been around, right?
Yeah.
And my stance is, and Brandon and I were just talking about this, I think it's a really good like segue into this and it'll be a good theme overall, is like, if we have championship expectations, then we need to match championship effort in every facet, right? And college football hasn't had a change that's been this seismic in its history in such a short period of time as well.
Yeah.
It's taking like the old school, old Penn State guard that has always been like the brand's going to be able to adapt and the brand will overshadow the change. I think for the first time, the brand can no longer overshadow the change that's coming, and tying that back to the championship expectations. If we want to compete for championships, we need to continue to bolster this, right? And I think like whether you believe in the coaching staff, whatever it may be, I said, Brandon, it's kind of like when we stayed, and I hate using this because it's been so covered and like so played out, but it's like when we stayed at Penn State in 2013, like it wasn't necessarily because we saw like light at the end of the tunnel or anything like that. Like we made a decision to make a short-term sacrifice for the greater good of the program. Right. And I think that that's where NIL is right now from a Penn State perspective, is like, we need to put any of our preconceived notions about this. And at the end of the day, if you're going to sit there and have Twitter fingers after a loss, if you're going to throw shit on the field after we get beat by Michigan, if you're going to throw a fit about it, and you actually have an opportunity to compete and make a difference, then you need to be able to, put those aside and participate for the short term. And another thing I mentioned is I think like the overall system of NIL is broken and it will be fixed. Like that's going to happen. I think it's going to happen a lot faster than what people think. So like put the good, bad, or indifferent view on it aside. And like, if you have championship expectations, ultimately what it comes down to is, we should be competing in this space too. And we're like too big not to. And if we do it, when that change comes, we're only going to have a leg up on everybody else because we're going to have such a strong foundation with additional revenue streams for players when the whole playing field's level, whether that's revenue sharing or whatever. So that's my broad stroke, Brad.
Yeah.
Give me what you got on that. And then we'll just banter back and forth from there because I think that sets the table.
Yeah. I think it's, like we just can't be behind the times as Penn State always is on everything that we do. We are always like 2, 3, 4 years behind where like the programs around the country that are winning are ascending to. Like I think back, like probably still maybe your guys like freshman year, the locker room at Penn State was like horrible, right? Like I remember seeing like those big like wood stalls that you guys had where like everything went underneath like the bed. Like it's crazy. Like if you showed like top programs at that time, their locker rooms weren't worth it. Now Penn State's, you know, worked their way up and they've got to where they have these great facilities, but like those schools that are succeeding are on to the next thing. So I think that like you bring up a good point of like, we need to catch up right now. We can't keep like lagging behind a little bit. We need to make sure we're ascending in that fashion. And I think that like, we've had enough time to wrap our heads around what NIL is and, you know, the concept of paying players and players making money. Like the arguments around that like are done. Like, this is here, this is now. We need to start acting with it. I think you bring up a great point of like potentially the change of NIL is coming, right? They're going to figure out how to like bring this together a little bit more than it is. Yeah, totally. And I think that us ascending so we're ready to capture that moment is great. Like, I go back to, you know, like when you guys were playing and you guys just first started getting like stipend money, right? That little bit. I remember talking with some guys and saying like, this is crazy. Like, they shouldn't get this. Like, they're a student like I am. Like, they got free school. And the one of the players that played on the team back then told me, he was like, I should be able to sign a piece of paper that's my name. If someone's willing to pay me for it, I should be able to make money off my own name. Just one little signature. And that really changed my perspective of the whole thing. Like, you guys put in so much hard work into, you know, creating this, you know, this program at Penn State, being able to make a little money if someone's willing to give it to you. Like, I'm totally on board with that now, right? It changed my narrative, like really thinking about it that way. Has it ballooned now to something that's like totally bigger than just like signing autographs? Yeah. But I think overall, like, you bring up a great point of like, this is going to bring a more cohesive unit together, and Penn State's got to be there or we're going to get left in the dust. Like, the way that the Big Ten is growing and more schools are coming into the fold, like, look at what look at Washington, what they just did, right? They brought in Penix. Like, that was an NIL deal. Like, there's no doubt about it that there was NIL money around bringing him in, and look what they were able to do. They beat a school like Texas who has unlimited NIL money, right? So it's that balance of having a great program, great coaching staff, great players, but you also have to have that NIL, you know, element too. So
yeah, great point.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think NIL, like, it's hard because obviously as a fan, and correct me if I'm wrong here, like, you want to participate when times are good, right? Like, you want to, and like, NIL is almost in its own different bucket where you have to participate with blind faith that, like, again, like I said, whether you agree with what's going on, how it's going on, and everyone's going to have their own opinion, everyone's an armchair quarterback, like, you need to almost remove it from that side of things. And it's like, it's sitting there as like a bolster for the entire athletic department. Right. It's like you said, like, I'm a Penn Stater blue blood through and through. Like, this isn't fandom. This is like participation in ensuring championship level success throughout my entire, whether James Franklin's the head coach or like whomever else the next guy is going to be when that time comes or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. This is like a true Penn State investment, which I think is very, very unique. And I think some people might have a hard time separating the two.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, I was on the NIL's Instagram page last night, just looking at like some of the content that they put out there and, you know, who it's marketing to. And I think it's a good point. Like, it is hard to not look at this with the football lens, right? But when you take a step back and look, like, it's the whole athletic program, to your point, like, it's affecting a lot of people. Like, your money goes to all these different athletes and all these, you know, building up these programs. Look at the hockey team, right? The hockey team has definitely benefited from NIL, which is awesome. It's great to see. Yeah. I do think that, like, there's that education factor that fans need. I need it. Like, the, you know, Joe Schmo fan needs it too. Like, what's this money going to? How do I get involved? How can I help? Right? Like, I don't have $1 billion sitting around for me to donate to the NIL, right? I'm buying diapers right now. I'm buying wipes. Kids going to the bathroom 15 times a day. Like, I don't have the money to like bring in the number one recruit in the country to Penn State, but I would love to find ways to like get involved, to help out, how to, you know, play a role in Penn State succeeding. I think that's really cool too, right? Like, 10 years ago, the average fan doesn't have any say really in how his team can get better, right? But now we can. The people that can afford to like really bolster this NIL deal for Penn State, like, they have a direct role in making the team better. Like, that's pretty damn cool if you ask me.
Yeah, that is a good point. It's also dangerous waters in some way, shape, or form, but that's a great point. And like, being able to directly influence that in some way, shape, or form. And the one thing I will say, and like, I think as Penn Staters, we need to realize it too, is like, we're like the Chinese, dude. There's a million of us. Mm-hmm. We're everywhere. So like, maybe a small thing or a small donation. I think that's also part of like the collective and everybody else figuring out ways how to make it more accessible rather than going for like lump sum donations, but like making it more successful. And like, to be transparent, we signed an agreement with the collective and we're working together now as like the content partner. But like, that's part of my goal too, as a letterman, is how can we incentivize the folks who want to participate, but don't necessarily have the ability to write a 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, $100,000 check.
Yeah.
Like, how can we create ways for them to participate, whether it's monthly payments or like access to these things? And like Happy Valley's doing it with a little bit of paywall content, but like really bolster that with different events and like access to players. I talked about access being what NIL is about. Like, that's huge. So figuring out those types of ways. And before you know it, if we start getting Penn State people behind it, you know, we're going to have 100,000, 200,000, 300,000. We have what, 800,000 living alumni participating in our alumni system. Like, there's a lot of us. So, you know, it could be a volume game here. And I think it's just about figuring out the right ways to do it, as you said, and the right way to educate and frame and bring those opportunities to the table. Because like I said, we have no excuses to not be really good at this. And I think it's only a matter of time.
Yeah. I think there's like a really cool opportunity too, to like bring in more of these like engagement sessions, like you're talking about. Like, I know that they do a lot of stuff down the shore, which is awesome. I think like involving like the greater like Penn State community of like Pittsburgh and Philly, like DC, right? Like, you look at our football team, like, some of the best guys we got are coming from the DMV. Like, let's keep like filtering that area, right? Like, we can't just focus on like just State College being this like little nest egg of NIL money. Like, we have to involve all these other areas where there's alumni and where there's players potentially being recruited coming from, things of that nature. You know, like, I think expanding that's just a really good way to get everyone involved.
Yeah, shoot. I mean, we just, before you hopped on, we were talking about Nebraska as being a team that we're kind of looking out for. We had one of the mailbag questions of just, you know, what teams during spring ball are looking out for, blah, blah, blah. And Hack brought up a great point. Nebraska, Coach Rule, and they brought in a number one recruit, was it Dylan Raiola, who they snagged from UGA, who's no slump, as we know. And as we said, it's kind of like, who knows who that 15, 16-year-old kid is right now. He'll be looking out. And when the time comes, if he's the number one guy, could Penn State have a chance of getting him to change the program? Nebraska got a kid that's going to change the program, and they've been in the basement for a little while. You know, we've been at the top, itching to get our way in. Could that kid, you know, coming in, set us over the top? We've seen a Saquon do it, you know, a guy like that. Who knows if that kid comes when it's time to make a decision? It's different than when Saquon came and he chose Penn State because of X, Y, and Z. Now it's X, Y, and Z plus how can I benefit from my name? And ultimately, whether you like it or not, that's the case. I can get everything that's great about Penn State, network, great education, but also I can monetize my name while doing it. And if that's the case, that's where we need to kind of, as Hack said, invest for the future now, although we may not be able to see it.
Yeah, totally. I think it's a really good point. Like, the thing that, like, when I see that too, of this kid, like, you know, picking through his options and he's checking all these boxes about Penn State, I think like the one box that like gets like a very faint check mark is like, can I win a national championship? And I think that like, you want to check that. Yes, we're so close. Like, we're on the doorstep every year. Like, I think as fans too, we have to be able to see that, like, we're going to get to that point where we can win a national championship. Like, players aside, like, we've got a lot of good dudes, right? Like, in this podcast room right now, like, you guys were big time recruits. You guys were big time impact players from day one. Like, we got to figure out how to also on the football field make progress, because I think that making a little bit of progress on the football field opens the door for people to write those bigger checks, right? Because they're like, you know what? My check right now, that's going to put us over the edge. Hey, we beat Ohio State by 14 points this year. Yeah, we lost in a playoff to Alabama, but you know, like, one more, you know, addition to this team makes that bit of a difference. Like, I think that there's some like ways that we can paddle in both directions with what's happening on the football field and also what's happening with NIL to get us over that edge and convince that, you know, kid from Texas to come to Penn State, because he's like, you know, it's maybe my best chance to win a national championship is going to Penn State. Plus I got all this money that I can make on NIL and all these other things. So I think that once we just got to get a little bit further, we got to push this on-field success a little bit further. And, you know, hopefully that starts to open up more NIL doors too.
So, I mean, listen, I I'm not going to disagree with that point. You know, I think that there has been a lot of on-field success. And I think also comparing our overall development in terms of where we were to where we are now, that all needs to be taken into account. And I think oftentimes it's taken for granted, where this program was when B and I first came in, which was only 10 years ago, 11 years ago. I mean, but realistically speaking, and to where it is now, I think is a huge testament. And I think again, it goes back to, I said, Brandon and I came here for a different reason, different purposes, and you know, made a sacrifice. I think that there's one of those things where you still have to have that blind belief. And realistically speaking, that belief falls on the onus of the athletic department, the athletic director, and all of those things. So I think that it's a fair point of contention, but I also think that that's one of those points of contention where you need to let that run its course. And again, I keep going back to the fact that because Brandon and I did it, it can't be about that. It can't be about the people or what's there. The product is still a really, really good product. It's a championship level product. Whether or not the ball bounces the right way or something happens throughout a game where it pertains, we're still there, and all of that's going to figure itself out, I think. And I think Coach Franklin can get it to where it needs to get to. I thought he made some great hires this offseason. So the buy-in needs to be now, because there can't be any more. You can't leave any stone unturned when it comes to getting to that level. Yeah, as a program, as a fan base, you cannot leave any stone unturned. It can't just be on a whim. Alabama didn't get to where it got to by accident. Georgia's not where it's at right now by accident. So, you know, I think the infrastructure and the overall goals there, I just think the overall buy-in needs to continue to grow. So what other points of contention do you think a fan would have when it comes to NIL?
I think that there's some hesitancy from, and this is not so much for me, but I think some of the older Penn State guard of just still not buying into the idea of paying athletes, right? And I think that that old school mentality will haunt Penn State forever. until the old guard kind of dies out and this new generation of Penn State fan comes into play, I think that you're always going to battle that at Penn State. Is everyone's going to always reminisce about the old times, not be able to turn the page, you know, towards bringing in a new era of football. So I think that you have that just initial fear of I shouldn't have to pay a player to come to Penn State. It's the best education you can get, all that crap that is so wacky and old school that haunts Penn State. I think until you flip that, you're still going to have some hesitancy from the buy-in.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. And that's maybe something we could do just on our end. What could we do as far as education is? Because when I hear that, and obviously I understand it, it's you got to open your eyes to what all 50, 100 other schools look like and are doing. You know, maybe we got to take a trip down to Ole Miss, down to Alabama, Florida, these schools, and see how they're operating in this space, because they're all legendary, you know, lineage schools that, you know, have come from the history, great history and things of that nature. But, you know, they've all made strides also in this new regime of okay, how do we keep up with what's going on? Hack mentioned earlier, every industry has changes. Obviously, this one hasn't had many, and this one came as abrupt as any has ever came, so, or more abrupt. So it's different for those people of that regard, like you're speaking of. I understand it's you pump the brakes on everything because it's totally new. But from my side, it's hey, maybe we get a collective member from Alabama, from Florida, to just speak on how things are operating, you know, that can maybe shed some light to those people that have that type of view. You know what I mean?
That's a really cool idea. I was looking at some NIL stuff. Missouri is putting together an unbelievable NIL package and on an NIL, you know, system for their school. And like, you look at that and you're like, Missouri, like if Missouri can do it, Penn State can do it. Like, that's great to like talk to someone from Missouri and be like, hey, what's working, right? Like, you know, and maybe it is like two massive donors that are, you know, really footing the bill for everything, but hey, so what? Like, we should be able to do that too. So I think it's a good point of like, you know, what can we learn from schools like Ole Miss, right? Like, look at what they did in the portal this year. Like, that's NIL. That's not, you know, Ole Miss is great. There's a lot of fun times we had at Ole Miss, but like, that's NIL talking right there of what they did, you know, in the portal this year. And so, yeah, I think you got to try to kind of learn from your peers a little bit.
And real quick, it just kind of puts me in a space of an athlete, you know, heck, you know, you are a big time, bigger recruit than I was, but you know, as you're coming up, you learn like, hey, I think I'm, you know, the shit. We think Penn State's the best, but there's other kids, there's other schools that are working hard right now while you're sleeping, while you're chilling. You know, as athletes, that's kind of what we're taught. It's like, hey, there's someone else out there working harder than you, working to be better. And as we said, there's only one championship. So we're all working to get the same thing. You got to understand, you want to have the best house on the block that looks the best, runs the fastest, or the fastest car. You gotta put into it, you know, you got to invest in it now for the future, you know, and things of that nature. So it's, we that's our job to open the eyes to those viewers that see things in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, I think to put a bow on it, like I keep going back to it, but I think it's that simple. Like, you have to make short-term sacrifices for the larger vision and the larger product. And like, this is not going anywhere. It's going to be a staple. I do think there is going to be collective bargaining, like, because I think there is a blurred line between NIL and pay for play right now. And like, that needs to be, that line needs to be drawn in the sand in a much more concrete manner. And I think it's going to be, but like the collective bargaining, whether it's that or like employment, whatever it may be, that's coming. So at the end of the day, we need to continue to build this thing because, like I said, it will be a point of differentiation for us on the other side of that hill whenever we crest that. And we're too powerful and too big to not do it. And the championships and all that stuff, like I said, all of that I think will work itself out throughout that side of the coin, which is the, you know, athletic department and administration side. And like, you know, as fans, you want to see success. You want to see, you know, your dollars at work. Brad, you brought up a great point. Like, now you actually get to see it. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's, you know, yeah, you're paying for parking passes and tickets and all this other stuff. But like, if I can get access to like 10 cool events and have my kids walk around with, you know, former players, current players, this and that, and have access I've never had before. And, you know, make a donation and see that donation, those dollars go to work for me in the field. And then, you know, on the flip side, if I have a business, you know, being able to then leverage some ROI from a marketing and branding standpoint, like there's a lot of creative ways and a lot of stones that can be turned over with NIL. And I think that's where you can start making strides in our alumni base. And that's what we're hoping to do here at State Media. And, you know, Brad, I appreciate you hopping on, dude. You know, we go way, way back. So I think we're definitely going to have to get you back on at some point during the season, maybe some post-game reaction or something like that tuned up. But I think this was great perspective, man. Do you got any final closing thoughts? Do we sway your thought process one way or the other?
No, I think I'm all aboard. Like, I want to win. I'm so tired my whole life, dude. I've never won a national championship. Like, I'm an Eagles fan too. I went 27 years without winning the Super Bowl. Like, I'm tired of coming in second place all the time. I'm tired of losing. Like, let's do whatever it takes to win. Like, let's do this. Like, we have the players, right? Like, we've seen these 5 stars come in, the 4 stars, like we're right there. And I think like a little bit of push from both sides, like let's improve on the football field. Let's improve on NIL. Like, let's keep getting better. Let's stack those small wins. Let's go make some noise in the playoff next year. And, you know, let's try to bring home a natty.
Yeah. Pete, closing remarks.
I got a quick question for you, Brad. You think it's harder being a fan in this kind of era of college football or the past?
Man, I think it's harder right now. So I think that there's like just a lot of unknown of, you know, like to your point, like you look at like Ole Miss, it's like, what is Ole Miss doing that all these players are coming here? Like, where are they getting this money from? How is this working? I think that like that is a challenge. And I think that like you're just in this like massive, you know, it's not just about having like the best program, the best facilities now. Like there's this extra element of recruiting that comes into play. So I think that that part of it's a little bit of a challenge. I think it's also hard that my wife went to Alabama, and so I'm around Alabama fans all the time and seeing how good they've had it for the last, you know, 15 years or whatever. So that's a challenge too. But I think Penn State's in a good spot right now with the playoff coming up. I think that that gives them the opportunity to hopefully get into the dance and try to make some noise a little bit and prove a lot of people wrong and you know, also, you know, be able to change the product that's been on the field. So, I do think it's been a little bit harder now being a fan than before.
Nice. How to get that perspective. We're looking to kind of like get some more fans on here. We're talking about it. So, and I know, like we said, you're a little bit more of a friend of the show, friend of the host, but interesting perspective for sure.
Yeah. It was a challenge being a fan when Hack was playing quarterback and we were losing games sometimes. It's hard to come home to a house when everybody's upset with each other sometimes. Little quick story. I remember one of the hardest times being a fan was, I wish I remember exactly what year it was, but we lost to Northwestern. I think Hack got sacked like 10 times. And I came home and I sat in Hack's room. We were just kind of like debriefing a little bit. Then I went back to my house and I was talking with some offensive linemen too. And we were debriefing a little bit about the game and trying to play both sides of the totem pole after that one was a little bit of a challenge. But yeah, it's all fun. It's all good times.
Yeah, that was a rough year. I don't know exactly what you're talking about. That was
14.
14. We lost away.
No, it was home. It was home. It was a couple offensive linemen blocked each other. I'll just say that.
Yeah, O-line had some struggles there.
No, that's funny. Yeah, and that was always cool. That's why I always respected, you know, having you around. You were great. You were a great housemate. I guess that's what we called. We had like our own
quadrant little kind of thing. Yeah,
quadrant blocked off up there. But yeah, man, it was funny. But brighter times to come.
And, that's right.
You know, I think, like you said, Brad, we're right there. We're knocking on the doorstep, and you know, a little bit of extra effort on both sides. I think Coach is doing a great job right now with that. I was just talking to Brandon about this earlier in the show. Like, I'm a huge believer in Andy Kaltenecki. I think revolutionizing that offense and being the right personality for that role is going to be big. And just my short time having gotten a chance to talk to him up at Pro Day, I think the guys are really buying it. It's going to be big. So, but this was great. I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as we did. Brad, like I said, thanks for coming prepared. I knew you'd do your research. We'll keep everyone posted, but that's another episode of The Pocket. As always, socials, all this stuff, like, share, subscribe, do the whole nine. As I'm sure Brad has already, cause he's a great fan and a great friend, but make sure you guys are doing all that. And we are blowing out the spring game. So stay tuned for a lot more announcements with that in unison with Happy Valley United. And then also State Media doing a few things on the side that we're excited, some exclusive content. So stay tuned. We appreciate it as always.